Hello?
May I speak with Harry Eisenstadt, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Hello?
Harry.
Yes?
This is Brent Kelly. I wrote you about, I guess 10 days ago about an interview.
Yes.
Is this a good evening to talk?
Yeah, I can talk now.
Okay, if it's not convenient, I'll be glad to call back.
That's all right.
Okay. First, let me say I appreciate this very much. I will ask you, I don't know, probably a dozen quick.
Tell me this.
Sure.
Because we get so many calls.
Uh-huh.
What are you writing?
Oh, I write up interviews for a magazine called Sports Collector's Digest.
Yeah.
And the interview appears usually about 6 months after the actual interview is done. One of the side effects is that, for a period of 3 or 4 weeks after the interview appears in print, you will receive a pretty good increase in the amount of fan mail you receive. One fellow told me his went from an average of 4 or 5 a week to about 25 or 30 a week for a period of about a month. I'm not trying to do an expose or anything like that. All I do is I ask you some questions about your career, and then what you answer is what goes in the interview, and just trying to more or less inform the fans of today about some of the ball players of yesterday.
Well, the idea of increasing the mail, that doesn't encourage me too much.
You don't care for that?
No.
Okay.
Well, I'm always glad to sign, but what happens, what has happened, what's your first name?
Brent.
Brent?
Brent.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
What has happened today is a lot of guys are using ball players. I get mail from the same, many times from the same people.
Yes.
2, 3, 4 times.
That's abusive.
And that's what's happened. And they are abusing the fact that they're using it and exploiting it, and they're selling it.
Yes.
And exchanging it. I'm not saying mine is worth so much or anything like that. It really isn't. I mean, I feel that way, and I just don't like to get involved. In other words, I'm glad to cooperate, but I just don't like to get involved, and all of a sudden I get a flood of mail, and I guarantee you, Brett, it would be the same, a lot of it will be the same that I've gotten in the past.
That wouldn't surprise me, and I know that's a terrible side effect of this whole idea of sports memorabilia. Most of the fan mail you get from these interviews that I've done, most of them in the past, have been, though, from people who are honest-to-goodness true baseball fans who collect autographs as well. I do know for a fact that some of them have been the abusers, but the vast majority are fans who read the interview and say, well, he's a nice guy. Many times they say, I never even heard of him before. And they'll sit down and write the person. And they're just baseball fans. They're not trying to take advantage.
I have no objection to baseball fans.
Right, I understand.
Of that. Or fans that are collectors, that have their own collection for their youngsters, for having their kids collected and collect themselves. That part we have no objection to.
Right.
But I do get I object to the same guys, and they send you self-addressed envelopes, and because I recognize the name immediately and what city it's from and so on.
Sure. I know, and I object to that too, and I don't know how to get around that. I'll tell you. I don't know if you know him. Davey Williams played second base for the Giants in the 50s. He said he got from one fellow one time 50 8x10 photographs of the exact same pose of him, asking him to sign all 50 of them. And Davey's just a real nice fellow, and he said, you know, what the heck? I know what he's doing, but he signed them anyhow. Said, please don't do this again. He said it wasn't 3 months later he got 50 more from the same guy. That's what gives everybody a black eye in this situation.
Guys, the ones that are sincere about collecting.
Yeah. Well, you know, the people who send you the repeated requests, they aren't. I don't know whether they're selling them or what they're doing, but they're...
Send a copy of what you write to me before...
Oh, by all means. In fact, this is... I insist on doing that because I don't want to misquote. I don't want to... And sometimes it's not intentional. Sometimes I just misunderstand what was said, and I don't want that to happen. I always... send a copy before I submit it to the magazine.
Okay.
And, I will wait for your approval before I send it. And hopefully you won't disapprove it. If you don't approve, you say don't send it, then it doesn't get sent. You are giving me your time, which I appreciate, and I certainly don't want to do anything to cause you any embarrassment or anything like that by saying something that shouldn't have been said.
We'll be glad to go along.
Okay, I really do appreciate it. As I said, I'll ask you about a dozen questions and just answer, as short or as long as you want to. And if you choose that you don't want to answer the question, just don't answer it. You came to Brooklyn at age 19, and you're from Brooklyn. So was this your first job in baseball?
Yes, I was signed by the Brooklyn Dodgers by Casey Stengel.
Oh, no kidding.
Al Lopez was the captain at that time.
Uh-huh.
And then they sent me to Dayton, which was one of their farm systems, Dayton, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
And I pitched for the Dayton Ducks. And
the Ducks? I didn't realize they were called that.
Yeah, they were called the Dayton Ducks in Dayton, Ohio. And we won... We won 18 and lost 6 and won the pennant.
This was in 35?
35.
Okay.
And then in 1936, I was sent to Allentown, which was Class A. And we won 21 and lost 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year I was sent to Louisville. I went to spring training with the Dodgers, and I was sent to Louisville in Double A ball. I moved up into Double A, and I was with Brooklyn for about a month or so, and then we went to Louisville, and we won about 12 at that time in a little over half of the year. 12 and 5 or 12 and 6, I forget exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that time, Judge, and in between those times I stayed with Brooklyn and pitched a little bit with Brooklyn.
You had actually pitched pretty well in 37 with Brooklyn.
Yes. And then from there, at that time, I was sent, I was declared a free agent by Judge Landis.
Mm-hmm.
They had some rule at that time that you can farm a ball player out 3 times. Now, in 1934, I pitched for the Dodgers for... about a month, and when I got out of school, I pitched for the Dodgers a month. Then the next year, they sent me to Dayton.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they felt that was considered a year, and Judge Landis declared me a free agent.
Okay.
And then I signed with the Detroit Tigers.
Okay, so you were a free agent. Was this the time when Judge Landis turned loose all those Cardinal minor leaguers too?
Yes, there were quite a few.
It was like 100 minor leaguers.
Not that many. No.
Okay.
It was just a small group of us.
Okay, I guess that was maybe a few years later. Okay, And the Tigers signed you as a free agent?
I signed as a free agent because I was quite friendly with Hank Greenberg. And he advised me that he was from New York as well.
Mm-hmm.
He lived in the Bronx then, and we were quite close. They needed, he felt they needed left-handed pitching and that I would do well with them. And I did that.
Yeah, you did do well. In 38, I guess you were the number one man out of the bullpen for the Tigers.
I think we won 9 and lost 6.
Mm-hmm.
In 1938, and that was the year that Bob Feller struck out 18 men, established the world strikeout record.
Mm-hmm.
And I beat him that day.
No kidding.
4-1.
Well, that's very impressive.
In fact, I was with Bob at a dinner. And that there was a every year they have a golf and tennis outing in Detroit. Hank Greenberg had died of cancer.
Right.
And they had a cancer fund that was initiated by his son, Stephen Greenberg, who's deputy commissioner of baseball.
Mm-hmm. A very impressive young man.
Yes. Bright as hell.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
And they raised over $100,000. People paid to play with the various players golf.
Yeah, well, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea.
And I was with, I was with Detroit in 38. I think I won 9 and lost 6. I'm not sure.
That's what it was, yes, sir.
I'm not sure sometimes of the figures. You know, we're going back a few years.
Oh, yes.
And 39, I was traded for during the season. I won a doubleheader against Philadelphia. I won both games with the doubleheader. Pitched 5 innings in one game and 4 innings in another game.
Wow.
Against Philadelphia. And got credit for both games. And Hank Greenberg had hit 3 home runs. And I wound up winning both games.
It's nice batting support, isn't it?
Yes. And then I was traded to Cleveland for Earl Averill.
Mm-hmm.
I came to Cleveland, he went to Detroit. And we were with Detroit. And we relieved most of the time.
Were you happy as a reliever?
Yes, as long as I pitched, I had no objection to that.
You did have some good games of starts. You completed a good percentage of your starts.
Yes. I filled in. I wasn't a steady starter, but I filled in when doubleheaders piled up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to Cleveland in 39. And, 39, 40, 41, 42. And then we went into service. I went into the Air Force. I went into service.
And yeah, 43 you entered, yeah.
When I got out of service, we decided I wanted to stay in business, go into business here. I had been in the hardware business. While I was in Detroit, I worked for the company, and I liked it very much.
Mm-hmm. that's what you entered after 46?
And then when I got out of service, I was still the property of Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
And I decided at that time we wanted to raise a family, and it was kind of difficult, and we decided to stay in Cleveland, and I went into the hardware business.
You were just 30 years old when you left the game.
That's right.
Somewhere I read, and I don't know where, that you worked in a defense plant during the war for a period of time. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I don't remember where I read that, but I did see it someplace.
Just for a short period of time.
Okay.
I just, that was just in the winter time. Then I went into service.
Oh, okay. That was while you were still playing ball.
Yeah.
Okay, I see. Okay.
Then I went into service.
In one of your few starts with Cleveland, you pitched a shutout. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Remember who it was against?
I think it was against Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
I believe it was.
Do you remember anything about the game?
No, we had a good defensive team.
Yeah, the Indians were just short. I don't know exactly what they were missing in those days. They were just short of being a really good team.
Yeah. We had good pitching.
Oh yeah.
At that time, but we lost out in 1940. Detroit beat us out of the pennant the last day of the season.
Yeah, that's a famous story.
Floyd Keeble pitched a beat Feller 2-0, I believe.
Uh-huh, yeah.
He won the pennant on that.
I interviewed Floyd probably about a year ago. Very, very nice man. And he could tell you almost every pitch of that game. I guess that's really the highlight of his career.
What is he doing now?
He's retired.
Is he?
Yeah. Living a pretty quiet life. Very, very, very pleasant to speak with, though, and he wants to talk almost forever.
And then I was in the hardware business for 20 years here in Cleveland in Shaker Heights.
Uh-huh.
And then I went in then after the hardware business. I sold out in the hardware business.
Uh-huh.
And I've been vice president of national accounts for Curtis Industries.
Oh my goodness.
Now Curtis Industries, they're the largest manufacturer key machines, blanks, hardware, all packaged hardware, automotive supplies and so on.
Yeah, that's a heck of an outfit.
Yeah. I've been with them and I'm still I still work one or two days a week. They wanted me to stay on to take care of some of the accounts we had opened up over the years.
Mm-hmm.
We sort of had three careers, playing ball. I've been with Curtis for 26 years.
Boy, three pretty lengthy careers, too.
That is pretty much the story.
Well, let's talk about your hitting. You were a heck of a good hitting pitcher.
Well, we lucked out and got a couple of hits, but I wouldn't consider myself an outstanding hitter.
Well, your batting average, you know, a pitcher with a batting average over 200 is just scarce as hen's teeth, and you batted 211. And
different ball game today.
Well, even back then, don't belittle your hitting ability, because you can look back at the pitchers in your day, too, and you can find maybe a few 180, 190 hitters, but you don't find many of them up around your average. Did you ever play anything else besides pitcher when you were younger?
Younger, yeah. I used to play first base as well.
That's not surprising. I mean, you just didn't have to swing the bat that good. What about your control? For a left-hander, you had outstanding control.
Yeah, that's one thing. I could throw the ball pretty much where I could throw the ball well.
Yeah, evidently.
I had excellent control because Mickey Cochran was our manager in Detroit.
Uh-huh.
And he used me, and he always felt I had outstanding control.
Is this something you came by naturally, or did you have to work it?
I always had good control. I never walked too many feet.
Yeah, that's got to be the pitcher's best friend, is control.
That's right. Today, many of them, well, you know, there's a difference between being a pitcher and being a thrower.
Yes, sir. Yes, there sure is.
And pitching is, today is high and low, and it's just I'm sitting here talking to you, and I'm watching Nathan pitching against the White Sox.
Uh-huh.
And this kid has done very well, and he'll do better yet.
You gotta wonder what he'd be doing if he had a little better support behind him.
Well, unfortunately, it's a young team.
Yes.
And Cleveland is on the right track in what they're doing.
It looks like it for change.
Because they got rid of all. They didn't win with paying the $2 million and the $3 million. They didn't win with the Carter and Butler and some of the others,
mm-hmm.
Andiotti. They didn't win with them. So they. And when you're talking about places like Pittsburgh, Cleveland. They're small market areas.
Yes, sir.
And you can't compete against your Dodgers. And look at the Dodgers now. They got their payroll and the Mets. And they're not winning. Paying the big salaries doesn't guarantee that you're going to win it.
Oh, it sure does.
For years, they bought this one and bought that one, and yet they didn't win the way they should have.
That's right. I think if you can build from within, they're getting some young players in trades. They do seem to be doing a very good job. I've been a Cleveland fan. I'm a Tiger fan. My second favorite team, though, is Cleveland. I've followed them closely for years, and it's very frustrating. Who, in the time you were there, who was in the majors, who was the best hitter or the best player you saw?
That I would choose?
Yeah. This is your opinion only.
Well, one of the greatest, I thought, in fact, I saw him a couple of weeks ago, was Charlie Gehringer.
Mm-hmm.
He was, he's a Hall of Famer, and he was a great, great second baseman. And I would say Joe DiMaggio,
mm-hmm.
as far as hitters, Ted Williams, as far as hitters. Those are a few.
Yeah, you could build a pretty good team working around those three, couldn't you? What about the best pitcher? You talked about Feller, but you...
When you're talking about pitchers?
Yes, sir.
I would say I would choose Bob Feller as the best.
Yeah.
I would choose Bob Feller. I would choose Red Ruffing as a great pitcher.
What about a couple teammates of yours at one time or another, Tommy Bridges and Mel Harder?
Schoolboy Row.
Oh, yeah. Mel Harder?
Mel Harder was a great pitcher. Great curveball. He's a good friend of mine, and I'm rather disappointed that he didn't get into the Hall of Fame.
I just had a book published that the title of it's The Case For, and it's about players that, at least in my opinion, should be in the Hall of Fame and aren't. And I wrote about Mel and that. I've spoken with him a few times. He is certainly a nice person.
Oh, yeah. Mel's a great friend of mine, and he's a gentleman.
Yes.
Class guy. You don't read about from the years we played of the kind of, maybe it's the environment today with the dope and the rapes and everything else. We never experienced anything like that.
Yeah.
But I guess it's the time itself.
Yeah, that's one of the things that disturbs me. The people, you know, you can write nice things about people. There's no need to write the nonsense, the bad stuff.
Yeah.
But I guess you're right. That's what sells. And if that's what it takes, then I'll probably start doing something else because I'm not going to do that nonsense. Well, we talked about your fan mail way back up there when we started. About how much do you get? Do you have any idea? Do you ever count it?
Oh, I get, three, four a week.
And it's autograph requests?
Yeah, for cards, pictures, and they send, envelopes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you that it's nothing wrong with doing it, but it is the people who abuse it that really make it bad for everybody. Well, what about your career? Do you have any regrets from the time you played ball? Any problems that arose or anything like that?
No, I didn't have any regrets. I enjoyed it. It was great while we played. And the only regret I'd probably have that I didn't stay to get my college degree.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to go back, that's the only thing I would do. Just a couple of years and that was it. But at that time, you do things, you try to help out with your family and so on.
Yeah. It's awful hard to see when you're 20, 21 years old, too.
That's right.
I've got a boy.
You make decisions at that time that if you mature a little bit, maybe you wouldn't have made those decisions.
That's right.
And I don't regret that one bit.
That's good. That's good. Having regrets is not a good thing. Would you be a baseball player again if you went back to your 18, 19?
Yes.
Good. One last question then. Is there one game that either that you performed in or that you watched, something that stands out in your memory?
Well, the game that stands out, and I would choose, is when Bob Feller struck out 18 men and established the world's record.
And you beat him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet that would stand out.
Yeah, and that was the year Greenberg had 58 home runs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a season that would stand out.
Yeah.
And that, I guess, did they pitch to him there at the end?
Yes, they did. He had some balls, but it wasn't, he got a couple of hits, but he faced Feller at the end. But he didn't, he wasn't able to break the record, and he had 58 home runs, which was a great feat at that time.
Well, that's a great feat any time.
Yeah.
Yeah, even with as many as they're hitting today, that still hadn't been approached.
He was a great hitter.
Yes.
He made himself a great ball player. He worked at it.
Uh-huh.
Today, a lot of the ball players don't work at it.
Yes, sir. Boy, is that's not true.
They don't work at it. They come
don't.
To the ballpark with attaché cases. And their agents.
Yep, and count their money instead of taking batting practice.
Yeah,
that's...
Or find out why they're not hitting or why they're not pitching.
Yeah, and then complain to the press.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a sorry state of affairs. Well, Harry, that wraps it up. I will, first thank you very, very much. I will send you a copy of the completed manuscript here. Oh, it'll probably take me 4 or 5 days maybe even be the first of next week before I get it finished, but I'll send it to you, and I'll await your reply before I send it to the magazine.
Fine.
Now, assuming that you do approve and it does get printed, would you like a copy of it once it's published?
Yes.
Okay. Would you like more than one copy?
Well, a couple of copies.
Okay. If you have children, grandchildren, something like that.
I have grandchildren. I have four grandchildren.
Okay. We can send you, if you'd like half a dozen copies, whatever you want. It's no big deal.
Well, we can always get some.
Okay. Okay.
But you can send a couple of copies.
Well, we'd be very happy to do that.
Okay.
Okay, Harry, thank you very much. I really appreciate your time. I've enjoyed it. And I will have this to you. Oh, this is Monday. Probably by next Monday or Tuesday.
Oh, fine.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Monday, 9:23 p.m.